14. Be ready. It was not an actual voice Jaina kept hearing in her dreams, not even words, but she recognized that this message came from Ben. He was terrified for her and the others, and he felt somehow responsible for what? And suddenly her dream had her aboard her parents' beloved Falcon at Hapes, turbo laser strikes slamming the old girl like a Neclonian boulder storm, air whistling out through a breach in the central access core, Zek lying wounded on the deck. Next to Zek stood Ben, his face slack with horror, and an ignited lightsaber droning in his hand, the children murmuring in confusion and pouring fear into the Force, her father telling her to take the kids and... The kids? There hadn't been any kids aboard when Ben wounded Zek, yet Jaina heard them whispering just beyond the bulkhead, sounding frightened and confused and resentful, and she could feel them in the Force, reaching out to her, seeking direction and reassurance. And then her dream had her someplace where there really were kids, back in the dormitory on Yavin 4, where she and Jason and Zek had been students at her Uncle Luke's Jedi Academy. All of you, be ready. Ben still had no voice, but Jaina knew it was him, which seemed very strange since he hadn't even been born yet. Luke and Mara would not be married for another... Mara was dead. That fact came crashing down on Jaina like a falling star, and now she realized that her dream had her in the wrong academy, that she was actually sleeping in the dormitory at the Jedi Academy on Ossus. Her brother had sent a battalion of black boots to secure the students, to hold them hostage, actually, and she and Jag and Zek had been forced to call off their hunt for Alimarar to stay here and help watch over the students. For a little over 2 weeks now, Jaina had been living with a group of the Academy's youngest students, acting as a dorm parent while Jag helped supervise the teenagers. Zek continued to hide in the surrounding forest, a deadly surprise against the day it actually became necessary to defend the young ones against Jason's troopers. For the most part, it had been easy to believe that day would never come. The GAG commander, Major Serpa, was only mildly unbalanced, and as long as the Academy remained orderly and under his control, he was content to leave the children to Jaina and the other adults and concentrate his efforts on planetary security. The Solusars had even begun to hold classes again. But it felt far too early for the morning lessons, and the young ones in Jaina's charge didn't usually try to sneak off to class without disturbing her sleep. Just the opposite. Usually she was the one who had to get them out of bed, begging and threatening and enticing, until she had all 20 children at the refectory table playing with their breakfast. So why were they out in the hallway now, whispering and trying to slip past her door without rousing her? Jaina snapped awake, and found that her eyes remained closed. She sat up and discovered that her body was still lying in bed. She tried to roll onto the floor, then just to lift a leg. Her body remained fast asleep, and a dreamlike quality began to creep in around the edges of her thoughts again. Coma gas. A long male face with sunken eyes and a blade-thin nose drifted across Jaina's mind, and she began to understand what Ben was trying to tell her. Even deranged Major Serpa would need a reason to gas her. Her brother had to have ordered him to do something bad, and he needed to keep her out of the way. Jaina grabbed hold of that realization, held on tight to keep from sinking back into sleep, used it to pull herself back toward wakefulness. Jason was going to hurt the young ones. She had to fight through the gas and stop Serpa. Jaina began by expanding her Force awareness, anchoring herself to the reality of the dormmaster's room where she was staying, locating first the desk, then the closet and refresher, the opaque viewport, and the door across from it. Just outside the door, she sensed a jittery male kneeling down near the floor. He seemed to be concentrating hard, his presence filled with worry and dark intent. He was the one spraying coma gas into her room. Jaina grabbed him in the force, then hurled him against the far side of the corridor, slammed him into the wall twice, and pulled him back into the door. She felt him slip into unconsciousness and would have followed, save for the young ones reaching out to her, silently pleading with her to wake up. She found the door controls and used the force to depress the slap pad, then felt a welcome rush of air as the door whooshed open. For several seconds, Jaina could do nothing but listen to the hoarse whispers of the GAG troopers as they cursed and threatened their prisoners. Frightened as they were, the young ones seemed to be doing a superb job of making their captors' jobs difficult, shuffling their feet noisily and forcing the troopers to repeat their instructions over and over again. Still, the sounds were fading rapidly as the children were herded out the far door into the Asin night. Jaina filled her lungs with clean air, perhaps 100 times before her head finally began to clear. She opened her eyes to the dim illumination of the corridor's nightlight spilling through the open door. After a moment, she rolled off the bed and saw a GAG trooper sprawled across the threshold, a small canister with a slender delivery hose lying on the floor next to him. Jaina crawled toward him, rapidly growing more alert as the effort of moving began to circulate her blood and carry the toxins out of her brain. Despite a queasy stomach and throbbing head, by the time she reached the door, she was strong enough to stand. She dragged the trooper into the room and gave him a lungful of his own coma gas, then took his comlink and slipped into her clothes. She would have taken his blaster, too, except he wasn't carrying one. A muffled voice called down the corridor,
"Got them all, Delpho. Time to go."
Jaina lowered her voice into the mail range and, buckling her belt around her robe, grunted an acknowledgment.
"Delpho?"
Jaina cursed under her breath, then reached into one of her robe's inner pockets and withdrew her only weapon, a spoon that she had laboriously sharpened into a knife over the last few days.
"Delpho?"
The voice sounded closer now, as though the speaker was entering the corridor.
"Report!"
Jaina stepped through the door, simultaneously dropping to a crouch and hurling her knife down the corridor. A trio of bolts flashed out of the dark lounge and ricocheted off the door jamb. She used the force to guide her weapon toward the voice, then heard the officer scream and crash to the floor. A second passed. When no more fire came, Jaina retrieved her boots and started down the hall. The dormitories on Ossus were small, one-story structures with only 25 habitation cells per building, so she had no trouble hearing the wounded man groaning and thrashing against the lounge floor. All the doors she passed were open, and she didn't feel any children hiding inside. In several of the rooms, activated lights revealed overturned beds and lockers emptied onto the floor. In one, a string of red spatter marks ran up the far wall. By the time she reached the lounge, Jaina was convinced the dorm had been emptied of young ones. The only presences she felt were her own and the two GAG troopers she had disabled. She knelt beside the one she had wounded and quickly realized she would not be getting any answers from him. Her knife had caught him square in the throat, and he was suffering a slow, gurgling death. She pulled a hypo from the med pack on his belt.
"A quiet goodbye is more than you deserve," she said. "But Uncle Luke keeps telling me I shouldn't hold a grudge."
As her words registered, the man's eyes widened, and he clutched at Jaina's arm, silently begging her to save him.
"Sorry."
She placed the tip of the hypo to his arm and injected the painkiller.
"I've got kids to look after."
Jaina took the time to pull on her boots and crush the dying man's comlink beneath her heel, then stuck his blaster and spare power packs into her belt and went to the viewport. Outside, young ones ranging from Jaina's 5-year-old Wudus to Jag's 15-year-old Wampas were being herded toward the central exercise pavilion, where Major Serpa stood under bright lights with a squad of bodyguards. She saw no sign of the Solusars, who had, like Jaina, been acting as dorm parents. She reached out in the force and sensed them in their own dorms, feeling angry and worried, probably kneeling at a viewport just as she was. She felt Zek creeping through the jungle behind the complex. Jag seemed to be moving toward Jaina. As each squad of troopers arrived with their young ones, Serpa meticulously directed their placement. It soon grew apparent that he was arranging them in a circle around the pavilion, alternating groups of taller children with groups of shorter ones, being careful to keep them segregated by a line of guards. Once everyone had arrived and been directed to a location, the major returned to the pavilion and studied his work thoughtfully. After 2 full minutes, he left again and switched 3 groups, so that he had the Wampas flanked by a group of 10- to 12-year-old Banthas on one side and 13- to 14-year-old Virmoks on the other. Jaina watched this all impatiently, trying not to read any meaning into the major's actions. The man was clearly unbalanced, an impression that had only grown in their dealings since their first meeting in Flight Control Command. She and the Solusars had been debating whether Jason had put Serpa in charge to keep the Jedi off balance, or to have a ready patsy when he ordered retaliation against the Academy's young ones. Knowing her brother, he had probably done it for both reasons. Serpa returned to the pavilion and studied the assembly for another minute or so, then nodded approvingly.
"Much better."
He spoke loudly, clearly intending to make himself audible to anyone eavesdropping from the dormitories.
"This will give me a central focus, a place to begin."
The force rippled with anger and alarm, but Jaina and the other Jedi dorm parents were too disciplined to show themselves before they knew Jason's game. Serpa pointed to a slender Kodruji female standing in the front rank of the Wampas, then to a frightened-looking boy in the second rank of Wudus.
"Her and him."
A pair of troopers left the pavilion and stood by the young ones, taking them by the arm. Serpa turned his attention to the Banthas and Virmoks next, selecting a female human from the first and a Rhodian male from the second. He continued in this manner until he had chosen a child from each age group. Once Serpa had made his selections, he had the young ones escorted onto the pavilion one at a time, carefully arranging them in a circle around him, alternating between male and female, human and non-human, and tall and short. By the time he had finished his strange ritual, Tion Solusar was striding across the courtyard, her silver hair flying and her brow lowered in anger.
"You had better have a good reason for this, Major," Tion said, stepping onto the pavilion.
She was saying this, Jaina knew, more to assure the children she was in control than because she expected any reasonable explanation.
"And for the trooper who died trying to gas me in my sleep."
Serpa looked at her over the young ones separating them.
"You killed him?"
He shook his head in disapproval.
"That doesn't seem very fair, does it? He was only trying to keep you out of the way."
Tion stepped through the circle of children and stopped so close to Serpa that from Jaina's perspective it almost looked like she intended to kiss him.
"Out of the way of what?"
"Nothing to be concerned about," Serpa said. "Unless you Jedi fear truth as much as you do battle."
Tion dipped her head, no doubt frowning and feigning confusion. With GAG suppressing all normal modes of communication to and from the Academy, Any admission that she already knew about the Jedi desertion at Kuat would expose their secret means of remaining in contact with the outside galaxy, namely Zek. After a moment, Tion replied,
"Fear has no control over Jedi, and neither does anger, which is a good thing for you right now."
Serpa's brow shot up.
"Are you threatening me, Master Solusar?"
"I'm making a suggestion for your own good," she replied. "Return these children to their beds immediately, and your unfortunate timing will be forgiven."
Serpa studied Tion for a moment, then nodded, more to himself than to her.
"That's a threat."
He turned back to his captive audience.
"It might even frighten me, if I hadn't heard how Luke Skywalker and his bunch of cowards ran at the Battle of Kuat."
The Force crackled with the outrage and disbelief of the young ones, who hadn't heard about the Jedi desertion. But even the little Wudus were too disciplined to betray their feelings outwardly.
"Address your remarks to me," Tion said, using the Force to spin Serpa back toward her. "Whatever you think you know about what—"
Tion let her sentence trail off as Serpa came around holding his blaster. She extended her hand, trying to force-slap the weapon aside, but he was too quick. A single bolt flashed between them, and Tion's leg buckled. She dropped to a knee, shuddering surprise and pain into the Force. To the credit of Cam Solusar, the unprovoked attack on his unarmed wife did not draw him into the open. He remained in hiding, pouring rage and bloodlust into the Force, but heeding the same rules he and the other adults had been drilling into the young ones all week. Take only focused action. Never react. Only act. Jaina, however, had seen enough, especially when some of the Wudus couldn't help crying out in fear. She backed away from the viewport, then came within a finger twitch of blasting the shadow she glimpsed coming through the back door.
"Watch it!" Jag hissed, raising his hands. "Don't you know better than to point a live blaster at your commanding officer?"
"I know better than a lot of things." Jaina lowered the stolen blaster. "What are you doing sneaking up on me anyway?"
"You're a Jedi," Jag replied. "How can anyone sneak up on you?"
"People have been managing."
Jaina waved a hand vaguely in the direction of the two troopers she had left lying in the lounge and corridor.
"And I'm a little distracted by what Serpa's doing out there. He's just blasted Tion's knee apart."
Jag nodded as though he had been expecting this.
"He's trying to draw you out. There's a sniper team on your roof. Probably other places, too."
"How did they get past Vissel and Loli?"
Jaina asked. Vissel and Loli were two of the young Jedi Knights who had been on guard duty when Serpa tricked flight control into granting permission to land his battalion at the academy.
"I can't imagine those two missing a sniper team."
"It's easy to miss things when you're dead," Jag explained solemnly.
A cold lump formed in Jaina's stomach. Vissel and Loli were as young as Jedi Knights came, still in their teens, and just back from their final training mission with their masters.
"How?"
she asked.
"Snipers, I think," Jag replied. "I found them behind different dorms, both with scorch holes in the sides of their heads. It looked like they'd been lured outside and blasted simultaneously. My guess is that Serpa is after all of you."
Jaina shook her head.
"If he wanted us dead, a thermal detonator would be a lot more effective," she said. "Why bother putting us under with coma gas?"
"Because he knows Jedi," Jag said. "It's pretty hard for an assassin to sneak up on you guys in your sleep. your danger sense kicks in and wakes you.
Something like that, Jaina admitted, thinking of her dream of Ben. I still don't see why he thinks coma gas is better.
Because then it looks like he's only trying to keep you out of the way, Jag said. You'll misinterpret his intentions, and then he can kill you.
Jaina glanced back toward the viewport, recalling Serpa's time-consuming preparations and provocative insults, then nodded.
Okay, so maybe he's as smart as he is crazy.
She slipped past Jag and started through the door.
The first thing we need to do is take out those snipers. Quietly.
Don't forget quickly, Jag said. Serpa doesn't strike me as the patient type.
As they slipped through the refectory toward the dormitory's back door, Jaina was reaching out to Cam and the other adult Jedi, sharing the wariness she felt for Serpa's tactics. It probably wasn't necessary. Even without knowing about the snipers on the roofs, it was fairly obvious that Serpa was trying to draw them out. But the extra warning might prevent someone from reacting rashly to the Major's next provocation. At the back door of the dormitory, Jaina paused to peer into the night for a moment. It was too dark to see anyone lurking in the hedges across from them, but she could feel two presences hiding in the shrubs off to the right, behind the adjacent building.
"It's times like this when I really miss my lightsaber," she whispered. "Did you notice the two over by the wodobo bushes?"
"The two what?" Jag asked.
"That's what I was afraid of."
Jaina passed her borrowed blaster to Jag.
"Cover me, but don't shoot unless they do."
Jag scowled.
"Jaina, if those are snipers, they've got long blasters. A blaster pistol isn't going to be much help."
"Just make lots of noise," Jaina said, "and trust me."
She used the force to snap a branch behind the two ambushers, then slipped through the door and sprinted across the little yard into the hedge. When the snipers did not open fire, she decided her distraction had worked and circled behind them, moving through the underbrush in absolute silence. She found the pair lying prone under the arcing fronds of their wodobo bush, the spotter keeping watch toward the snapped branch, while the sharpshooter continued to train his weapon on Jaina's dormitory. Both men wore body armor and helmets with full-face night-vision visors. Had Jaina been as skilled as her uncle, there might have been a way to incapacitate the pair without killing them. As it was, if she wanted to be quiet, she had to be deadly. She dropped a knee into the small of the sharpshooter's back, then, as he started to twist around, grabbed his chin and helmet and snapped his neck with a violent twist. The spotter spun toward the sound and caught a force-enhanced knife-hand strike across the gullet. The trooper went down, gurgling and clutching at his throat. Thankfully, it was too dark to see the face behind his visor. Jaina repeated her neck-snapping maneuver, turning a slow death into a quick one. Her guilty feelings were forgotten when a single blaster bolt sang out from the other side of the dormitories, and a chorus of children cried out in terror. The force trembled beneath Tion's anguish, and suddenly Jaina felt her struggling to bear her pain in silence. Jaina reached out to Cam and the other Jedi, pouring wariness into the force, trying to urge them to ignore the bait, and failing to get through. Their fear for Tion was all-consuming, and their attention felt entirely focused on whatever was happening on the pavilion. The screech of another blaster bolt sounded from the courtyard. This time Tion could not help howling in pain. Cam's rage boiled over, and Jaina sensed him losing control. Then she felt the anger of Oslo and Jurga, two young Mon Calamari Jedi Knights, harden into resolve, and she knew Serpa was winning. By the time Jaina had grabbed the sharpshooter's long blaster and stepped out of the wodobo bush, Jag had already clambered onto a porch railing and was pulling himself up over the eaves. She chose a faster route, taking two running steps before launching herself halfway up the roof in a force leap. Her landing was hardly quiet, but there was no need to worry about betraying her presence. Her boots had barely hit the tiles before the sniper team Jag had warned her about earlier opened fire into the courtyard, revealing the silhouettes of two men crouching at the far end of the roof ridge. Jaina crossed the roof in two force bounds and came down between the two troopers. Before they could turn, she had pressed the muzzle of her long blaster against the sharpshooter's helmet and planted one boot in the middle of his spotter's back. The spotter was the first to react, trying to twist around to bring his repeating blaster to bear. Jaina pulled the trigger of her long blaster, burning a hole through the sharpshooter's head before he could move, then slapped the weapon's hot barrel across the spotter's face and sent him sliding down the roof. He disappeared over the edge, and the sickening crackle that followed left no doubt about his fate. Jaina turned her attention to the courtyard below and was horrified to see Cam Solusar on the ground, three columns of smoke rising from his motionless body. Oslo and Jurga were in even worse shape, their long Mon Calamari heads cratered with blaster pox. Jag scrambled up behind Jaina, then grabbed her arm and pulled her down.
"Are you trying to get blasted?"
Jaina dropped behind the roof ridge and finally saw what had drawn Cam and the others into the open. Tione lay curled at Serpa's feet, the lower parts of a leg and an arm lying a meter from their smoking stumps. The little Wudus were crying. The rest of the young ones were flooding the force with shock and fear, but outwardly they remained composed and submissive. They were waiting for Tione or someone to speak the word that would activate the escape plan that Jaina and the other adults had been drilling into them for the past couple of weeks. Serpa's voice came over the comlink in Jaina's belt.
"Do we have them all?"
A long chain of sick-sounding troopers answered.
"K-Solusar down. Oslo down. Jurga down. Vissel and Loli already down. Alfie down in his cell.
Hedda down in her dorm."
"That's everyone," Jaina whispered.
Jag nodded and eased the second long blaster out of the hands of the dead sharpshooter.
"Except us, and what about that solo smooka?" Serpa demanded over the comlink, "and fell."
When no answer came, another voice, barely audible, sounded from the helmet of the sharpshooter lying beside Jaina.
"Relpa?"
"That would be our guy," Jaina said, turning to Jag. "Did you get a fix on the other snipers?"
"Of course," Jag said.
The second voice sounded from inside the dead sharpshooter's helmet again.
"Relpa?"
"He's dead, you Gungan."
Serpa addressed Jaina directly.
"Well, Jedi Solo, I see that you're as big a coward as your uncle."
Jaina would have blasted him dead right then had she not known that the bolt might pass through his body and strike the trembling Bantha girl behind him. Serpa pressed his blaster to Tione's head.
"Are you just going to hide while I kill a Jedi Master?"
"Ignore him."
Tione raised the stump of her arm and gestured, turning Serpa's blaster aside.
"Look after—"
A GAG trooper fired over the children shielding Serpa, and Tione cried out as another 10 centimeters was burned from the stump she had used to gesture.
"It's time we gave that brain tick what he's asking for."
Jaina sprang over the ridge of the roof and started to slide down the other side.
"Cover me!"
Jag was already firing, pumping bright crimson bolts across the courtyard toward the sniper with the best angle of attack. Jaina fired at the closest team, trusting her aim to the force, then barrel rolling, firing again, and dropping off the roof into the courtyard. A pair of fiery blossoms exploded against the wall behind her. She dived into a somersault and came up shooting again. Saw a long blaster and one arm fly up behind a roof ridge and disappear, then found herself pivoting sideways as a trio of bolts droned past so close that she felt heat welts rising on her cheeks. Jaina really missed her lightsaber. Jag's long blaster sounded behind her, and that attacker fell silent. Jaina turned her attention to the young ones, who remained in their groups, craning their necks to watch her, and still awaiting their orders.
"Enough!" she yelled. "We've had—"
The courtyard exploded into a riot of astonished screams and stray blaster bolts as the young ones turned on their guards, using the force to hurl the troopers into one another and jerk the weapons from their hands. Jaina dropped to a knee and spun back toward the dormitories, but all that remained of the sniper teams were a handful of smoking tiles and a few bloody hands clinging weakly to the roof ridges. She signaled Jag to continue covering her, then began to push her way through the angry mob of students, who were using their budding force talents to beleaguer and in some cases injure the astonished GAG troopers who had thought they were in charge of the academy. Of course, the young Jedi were suffering casualties too. Everywhere Jaina looked, there were young ones lying on the ground with smoke rising from their blaster wounds. In some cases, groups of unarmed 10-, 12-, or 14-year-olds were fighting hand-to-hand with an armored GAG trooper. She did what she could to help. A quick force nudge here, a well-placed strike with the butt of her long blaster there, but her focus remained on the one who had instigated the carnage, Major Serpa. Jaina found him on the exercise pavilion. His bodyguards were lying on the floor, either dead or dying from an assortment of blaster wounds or well-placed slashes from makeshift weapons like her sharpened spoon. To her dismay, Serpa remained alive, holding the red-haired Bantha girl, Vecchi, Jaina recalled, in a chokehold, the muzzle of his blaster pressed against her temple for extra insurance.
"You call me a coward?"
Jaina asked. Hoping to distract him enough to pull the blaster away from the girl's head, she continued to advance on Serpa, then stopped when Zek reached out to her from the other side of the pavilion, urging patience.
"While you hide behind children?"
Serpa shrugged. "It's different. They're Jedi children."
"I'm sure the judges will take that into account at your trial."
Jaina glimpsed Zek's tall figure stepping into the light on the far side of the pavilion, but she was careful to keep her gaze locked on Serpa.
"Assuming you make it to trial, surrender now, and I'll be sure you do."
Serpa snorted.
"There isn't going to be any trial."
He swung his blaster toward Jaina.
"I'm just following orders. Your brothers—"
Before Serpa could pull the trigger, Zek's lightsaber snapped to life and came down on the Major's weapon arm, severing it at the elbow. Serpa's attention remained oddly fixed on Jaina, as though he could not at first understand why she was not dead or how she had managed to cut off his arm without moving. Finally, he seemed to hear the lightsaber droning behind him, and his jaw dropped in disbelief. He whirled around, swinging Vecchi with him, apparently oblivious to his pain.
"Where did you come from?" he demanded.
Zek lashed out so fast that even Jaina did not see the attack. Only Serpa's remaining arm swinging away from Vecchi's neck, and his body whirling to the floor.
"From now on," Zek said, "we'll be asking the questions."